Revelation chapter number 8 with me. Revelation chapter number 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let me say one more thing about one more announcement, because something just come to my brain. How many's ever had something come to your brain? Well, Sunday morning we are having our building offering, and then we'll do our special offering for the project on Sunday night. Sunday morning, our building offering. Don't forget that. I'm praying about the day we have our groundbreaking. We voted Sunday night to go ahead. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait. And we're going to, the ground's going to get broke over there sometime in July. And somebody, I'll say amen. What an asset it's going to be to the church. But Revelation chapter number 8, I was asked by the church family, or several of the church family said, "You getting back to Revelation?" Well, certainly. Right after Jubilee. And I want to make some stern, straight statements. I am more convinced tonight that I am right as far as eschatology than I've ever been convinced. I am a premillennialist. You say, what's that mean? That means the kingdom, Christ is coming before he sets his kingdom up. I'm not an amillennialist like the Church of God and the Nazarenes and that crowd. They don't believe in a millennial. They just believe the Lord's going to come, separate the sheep from the goats, and that's it. I'm not, and you can tell some of my Calvinist friends, I'm not a post-millennialist. And by the way, after World War II, that belief died. And they have had a resurgence of it. And the resurgence has come because of the Calvinist movement and the new resurgence of the new Calvinists. Most all of them are Reformed theology. Most all of them believe in postmillennialism. Now, here's what you've got to be to be a postmillennialist. Some of you might be saying, what in the world does that mean? Here's what it means. No rapture. No tribulation. And right now, we're living in the millennial. And we are going to Christianize the world. And once the world gets Christianized and ready for Christ's coming, then he'll come. How many of y'all agree with me that goes against all the grain of the Bible? When my Bible says it's getting worse and worse. Somebody help me preach. We are to try to evangelize the world. And I want you to know, somebody said, I mentioned it Sunday. I do not think there's going to be a great revival in America. But we can have local revival. But I do believe during the tribulation period, there will be a great revival. There'll be many people saved. A lot of them's going to have to lose their heads for the cause of Christ. Somebody help me preach. And I want to make another statement. The reason I know I'm right, not only am I a premillennialist, I go further than this. I'm a pre-tribulation rapturist. Amen. Here's what I mean by that. I do not believe the church will spend 30 seconds in the tribulation period. I don't believe it. I just think the Bible teaches against it. If you study, and by the way, you know why people get off on their eschatology? It's because they do not believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. You know why folks are Calvinists? Because they don't interpret the Bible literally. I've dealt with a couple Calvinists. And you know what I asked them this question. Do you interpret the Bible literally? What they said? No. Well, they can't. Jeff, they can't, because you know what they have to do to believe what they believe? They got to replace the church or replace Israel with the church. Ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to know something. God still got a mighty plan for the children of Israel. And Israel's going to be saved. And Christ is going to come back at the end of the tribulation and restore that nation. Amen. And those dry bones are going to come alive. Boy, good preacher, Reverend. Now here we are, going to Revelation chapter number 8. I want to read these verses. And I want to say this. When I read them, I'm going to say something. I'm going to see if y'all, I can get one grunt out of y'all. I think I might be able to. Will y'all look at these verses with me? And when he had opened the seventh seal, remember that book? The seventh seal book is the title deed of this earth. And God is going to restore this earth and restore Israel by judgment. When he opened the seventh seal book, listen to this. There was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. Here's what happens. Everything gets quiet. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And on your chart, if you notice, I have on there your seven seals, then your seven trumpets, and your seven bowls of judgment. When you open the seals, when the seventh seal was opened, the trumpets happened. When the seventh trumpet is blown, then the bowls or vows of judgment happens. You know how God's going to reclaim his earth? By judgment. Amen. Let's go on. And I saw the seven angels were still before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it upon the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Now listen to this. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail, and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and it was as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Whew. Y'all with me in your King James Bible? And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. If you think this is bad, look what he says. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Now, here's what I want to say. It's often quietest before the storm. How many's ever seen a storm come and everything calm down and become quiet? Notice that's the scene that I see here. The stillness and the sounds can almost take your breath away. We're getting ready. Here's the title of the message tonight. The day that God destroys one third of his creation. I believe God created everything. Amen. For our good and his glory. But can you imagine a day that God destroys one third? One third of creation. Now here's what I think might want to get you shouting a little bit. I am not going to be there. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And I'm not going to be there. I want to give y'all, can I give you three verses before I really give you all this? To show you that we're not, how many of y'all believe this is the great day of his wrath? How many believe that? It is the great day of his wrath. Now, those that don't believe like I believe, pre-trib, or they believe of mid-trib, or now we got pre-wrath or free course away through it. Then there's some people believe the church goes through all the tribulation, and here's the thing, it's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. The Lord comes down and raptures them up and then takes them back down at the end. That's not right. We're not going through any of it. Now, let me give you three verses. Will you stay with me in your Bible? I want you to go three verses quickly. Go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 7 or 8. And when you get there, say amen real loud. If I don't get all this done, it's okay tonight. Romans 5:8. If you're there, say amen. Or 5:9. Boy, this is quiet in here. Y'all got a Bible? Amen. I'm not going to read to y'all. Tell me. Amen. Romans 5:9. If you're there, say one more time. Listen to this. This is awesome. This Bible's sticking together for some reason. Here we go. This is awesome. Let me read verse 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then. See, God did much more than just save us. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved, say it, church, from wrath to come. Or through him. Thank you. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Hurry. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. When you get there, say amen. Y'all beat me there tonight. The Bible says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? Wrath to come. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. This is a great verse. This one right here makes me want to shout. If you're there, say amen. For God hath not appointed us to what? but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You said, why'd you read those three verses for them? Because I want you to get in your mind the Church of the Living God is getting raptured out before we go through this.
Amen.
It is the book. And I want to preach that tonight. See, I believe the rapture, if you want to find it, is found between at Revelation 4, 1 through 6. That's when the church is going to be caught up. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 59. The same event, the rapture, the great snatch. One of these days, God's going to snatch His church out. And we're not going to face any of this tribulation. Well, oh, happy day. So let's get into it. When we saw the seven seals, 1/4 of humanity is killed. Now listen to this. 1/4 of humanity is killed in the first 3.5 years. And then another 1/3 of the humanity dies. And that makes 50% of humanity dead by the midway of the tribulation. For the great day of His wrath has come. And who shall escape it? Let's look at these verses. I'll give you a little outline. Number one, we should pray for the will of God. How many believe that? We ought to pray for the will of God. In this chapter, or in the book of Revelation, the prayers of the saints are mentioned in 5:8, 8:3, and 8:4. Now, I want to give you something that'll help you in your study. Somebody asked me this question: which saints is he talking about? Oh, that's a good question, and I got it. Now, some people misinterpret this, but I'm going to try to get you to get it right. He's not talking about church saints. No, these are tribulation saints. These are what people that's literally dying for their faith. And their prayers have went up. We even know that they're under the altar in chapter number 6. And they said, Lord, how long will it be till you avenge us and our fellow brethren join us? I really believe there are going to be a bunch of people saved, but I want you to know I believe there's a lot of people going to find out what real martyrdom is during the tribulation period. Well, can I run one rabbit? It really bothers me. There ain't many of us facing martyrdom. The worst thing happens to us is somebody criticizes us because we're still old-timey. Somebody makes fun of us for what kind of Bible we have and what kind of church we go to and what kind of clothes we wear. That's about the worst we get. But during the tribulation, during the tribulation period, it's going to get a lot worse than that. Somebody help me preach. I want you to notice verse 1 and 2. There are times when we need to be quiet before God. Whew. Stand still and see the salvation of God. The Lamb breaks the seventh seal. And all He's doing, when the seventh seal is broken, the seven trumpets, as they follow immediately after, and they get rapid, and they get more intense. And let me say this. Have you ever asked the question, why the silence? How many's ever asked the question, why the silence, Jeff? I know. Because what was getting ready to happen, and those people in heaven know about, is the most awful thing terrible, horrible judgment that this world has ever faced. Have you ever witnessed a car wreck? When I was a young boy, it's now 817 going over toward used to be a movie theater over where 84 Lumber is. You remember them days? That's a long time ago. I saw the worst wreck I've ever seen. There was a Firebird or something like that with four people in it, hit a tractor trailer straight up. And it literally tore that car inside out. And of course, I don't want to be too graphic, but there are body parts everywhere. And I was there and I stopped. I walked up and took my breath. It was it was the most horrific thing these two eyeballs have ever seen. I want you to know something. As bad as that was, it's not going to be nothing near what's going to happen when God pours His wrath out upon this world. It's going to be a silence. Then we see seven angels with seven trumpets. I want to give you a little something. Your preacher tries to study. I read a lot. And I have read not the whole book, but excerpts from a non-biblical Jewish book. I say not, when I mean non-biblical, it's not included in the canon of Scripture. And I'm not going to get into that tonight, but there's three criteria for a book to be put in the Bible. I won't get into all that tonight. That'd take me too long. But these seven angels are mentioned in the book called First Enoch, or Enoch, chapter 20, verses 2 through 8. He references these seven angels. And here's their names. Uriel, Raphael, Raytel, Michael, Seraquil, Gabriel, and Rimael. And these are the seven angels that was mentioned. And you said, what's that significant? Hold a minute. Hold a minute. I want y'all to know something. Boy, I'm in some study now. I want you to know something. Don't come and tell me that Enoch didn't write something. Because he did. You said, prove that. Well, I'm glad you asked me. Turn over to Jude 14. Now, it's not, hey, Bill, it's not included in the canon of Scripture because it did not meet the criteria. But there was a book of Enoch. And Jude even refers to some of Enoch's teaching. And Enoch also, are y'all there? The seventh from Adam, all the way back to chapter 5 of Genesis, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. How many's never seen that? Come on. It's right in your Bible. He referred to Enoch. Enoch must have been a prophet. Now, I don't know all about that, and I'm not going to go any further than what I said. But there was a book of Enoch. But trumpets are significant. Somebody say amen. In Numbers 10, they called people together. They announced war. Hey, when they sounded them on Mount Sinai when the law was given. When they went around Jericho, seven trumpets were blown. When the king was enthroned, the trumpets were blown. Now, let me give you this. Will you hear the term last trump? Well, listen to this. There's going to be a last trump of the rapture, and there's going to be a last trump of the revelation. One of them found Well, glory. In 1 Thessalonians 4, and one of them is found in Matthew chapter 24, 31. Somebody say amen. Now, let's go on, verses 3 and 4. There are times when we need to speak to God. And we see the prayers of the saints. The scene in heaven, we see the prayers of the saints. And we see this another angel. And look at me. I don't know who he is. Now, some writers believe he may be the angel of the Lord or the Lord Jesus. I don't know. But he gets coals and fire mingled with those prayers of the saints. And that incense goes up before God. And you know what God does? He smells that incense and he brings vengeance upon this earth. And by the way, none of us ought to get vengeance, because vengeance is mine, God said, and I will repay. Whew. Am I preaching? Let me go quickly. Then verses 5 through 6, there's times that we need to wait on God. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it in the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, let's look at the second point. We should prepare for the work of God. How many of y'all believe God's sovereign? Let's look at these four trumpet judgments quickly. And by the way, some of y'all need to go back to Exodus and read those plagues that were given to Israel, and you'll see a similarity to the plagues that are here with the plagues in Israel. Let's look at this. God's sovereignty over the soil. Look at verse 7. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. God's 13 times the word third occurs in chapter 8. This hail and fire, we see that in the fourth Egyptian plague in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 23. We see it also in Joel 2 and 30 through 31. Mixed with blood, intensifies the judgment. One third of the trees and all the green grass around that one third of the trees are burnt up. I love this creation, don't you? I love to travel. Can you imagine? Get in your mind. Go to some of the greatest natural forces you've ever seen. Anybody been in a natural forest before? Go in California where they have those cedars. Jeff, one third of all trees. One third of the grass. The soil. Quiet in here. Somebody ought to just say, I'm getting ready to say it. If you don't, I'm glad I'm saved. And all this is God's wrath on unbelieving man and God's wrath to redeem Israel back. Then I want you to notice God's sovereignty over the sea. Look at verse 8 and verse 9. If you're there, say amen. And by the way, this judgment is reminiscent or traces back to the first Egyptian plague when they turned the water into blood, killing the fish and making the water undrinkable. Are y'all there? And a second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, If you want to ask me what this mountain is, I am not sure. You said, you finally said you're not sure or something? Well, you tell me. Now, Pliny, one of the ancient churches, or ancient fathers of the church, told about Mount Vesuvius that erupted. And if you remember, in 79 A.D., it erupted and the waters looked like blood. But I don't know if this is going to be a meteor. I don't know if it's going to be an asteroid. I don't know if it's going to be an earthquake and a volcanic eruption. But I do know this. I might not know all about what it is, but I know what it does. Could you imagine? How many like going to the ocean? Sure we do. Could you imagine the third part of the ocean? Blood. Could you imagine being out there in a boat and the boat gets destroyed and the fish come up to the top? I want you to know something. This really tells me that God must and does hate sin. And I tell you what we need to preach more of is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I preaching? Look at verses 10 and 11. Let me hurry. I'm going to finish these two. I could wait till next week, but I'm going to go ahead and finish it if I can. Might not. God is sovereign over the springs. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were with a lamp. And it was upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters were wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were bitter. Now we know in Exodus, there was a place the children of Israel came to called Marah. And it was bitter. This wormwood, that word refers to a plant with strong bitter taste found in the Near East. Now, I want you to know, I don't know if it's an asteroid. Some say it is, that star. But whatever it is, it falls on the drinking water. The springs. The rivers where we get our water. Have I said, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Have I said that I thank God that the church is going up and not through that? Somebody, I'll shout. Then look at the last one and I'm done. God is sovereign over the skies. You know, the ninth plague in Egypt was that of darkness. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So it was the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. This plague of darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be out in the dark without a flashlight. Could you imagine? I don't know. I mean, a third part of the day. So if we got a 12-hour day, 4 hours of it's dark. That's in your Bible. You say, why is God doing this? He is going to judge this earth and redeem this earth so this earth will be... Hey, he is going to judge it. He'll purge Israel and judge the Gentiles. But thank God for his church. For the Lord himself is going to come from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, comfort one another. You ought to say your neighbor, I'm not going through that. You ought to say your wife, I'm not going through that. You ought to say your husband, I'm not going through that. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is not the easiest teaching in the world, okay? I hope y'all know that. But I want y'all to know something. In the last verse, and I have to close. There are going to be three woes. If you think these four judgments are bad, it's nothing compared to what's going to come. And then we're going to see demonic activity. How many of y'all believe? Come on, ask y'all something. How many of y'all believe in our country, there is more demonic activity than ever? And I don't want to keep referring to that mess that's going to happen Saturday, but I'm going to make one more referral. One of them from Hurricane, West Virginia, whatever they want to call that junk, I'm not giving it no credit. But I want you to know, dresses up like Satan. Some of the clothes you see advertised as some of the targets for the transgender was made by Satanists. I want y'all not to misunderstand this. The devil is active right now more than he's ever been before. But I'm going to give you some more good news. He can't possess me because I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit. He may oppress me, but he cannot possess me because I have the Holy Ghost. Man, that's good teaching. I'm done. Woo! Now, here's the most important question. I'm done. Bow your head with me. How many of you know that you know that you know that you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Raise them up high. I want to look. Hold them up high. Keep them up till I look around. Looks like everybody raised their hand. If you couldn't, and you not say, I'd say I'd want to be. Now, I'm going to ask you, is there anybody in this room? Say, Preacher Smith, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm lost. I don't want to face that, though. I don't want to be left behind at the rapture. I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand high. I think everybody's saved. Let's stand. And I'll dismiss. Thank God for you. How many learned one thing tonight? Pray for me. This is tough teaching. It really is. There's a lot to it. And so pray for me as I continue. But I told you I was coming back, and I'm going to finish the book of Revelation. Our Father, thank you for this time of Bible study. Lord, I don't understand how all that's going to happen. But I do know and I do see the results of all of it going to happen. And there's one thing I'm so happy for. On January 31st, 1973, the High Sheriff of Heaven arrested me. And I got saved. And I was sure that I would not face the wrath to come. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you thank God for saving you on your way home?